Today, we will read Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 56. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that today you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to understand your word, open it up so that we can see it more clearly. Lord, I pray that it would be more than just a story, that you would show us the truth, and also show us how it affects us in our lives. How are we to live based on what we read? Lord, we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 56. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women, who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs who have never bore, and the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, and saw the tomb, and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home, and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath, in obedience to the commandment. Today, we read again about the crucifixion and death of Jesus. And again, I am drawn back to why all of this took place in the first place. Once again, Jesus chose this. He did it out of love. Going all the way back to the beginning, when Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, were created, they were given a simple instruction. You may eat of every tree, but of this tree do not eat. The problem is, they chose to disobey. They chose to sin. They ate from that tree. They broke God's commandment. And because of that, they were separated from God. They had dishonored him. They had disobeyed him. They were defiled. And so they were separated from God. And nothing that they could do could bring them back. Nothing that they could do could take away the wrongness of what they had done, could take away the shame. Nothing that they could do could take away the defilement, the dirtiness. And so God established a plan. He set up sacrifices where you could take a lamb that was perfect, no spots, nothing wrong with it at all. You could kill it, and its blood would cover your sin. But it was temporary. Every year they would keep killing lambs and lambs, and it never really completely satisfied the problem. And so God had given this to them not as a permanent solution. God gave it to them as a picture of what he would one day do through Jesus. Jesus was our lamb. He was given in our place. When God allowed him to be sacrificed, to be killed, he took the death that we deserve. And his blood is able to cleanse us and purify us so that we are no longer dirty or defiled because of our sin. But we have the chance to be made right with God. And we do that through faith. Now, looking at today's reading, we see that he is led away, he is nailed to a cross, and he is crucified. And his attitude throughout this is amazing, that as they are nailing him to the cross and crucifying him, as they are killing him, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus forgave those who were killing him. That's just an amazing attitude to have. He forgave them. Just like that, he forgives us when we come to him and ask him. But there are differences in the ways that people receive him. There are some who stood around mocking him, making fun of him, laughing at him. And they're saying, oh, he saved others, but he can't save himself. And they make fun of him. And he was crucified with two criminals. They're kind of like us. We have all done things that are wrong. Each of us deserves to be punished by God, even if it is a small sin. For example, Adam and Eve, they ate fruit from a tree. It does not seem like a big thing that they did not kill someone. But the problem was they broke God's commandment. And because of that, they were separated from God. In the same way, each one of us, every human that has ever lived except for Jesus, has broken God's commandments. So we are like those thieves. In verse 40, one of them says, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Each of us deserves to be punished. We are like those criminals. We're getting what we deserve. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He did not deserve to die. But the great thing is that even though he did not deserve to die, he chose to die in our place. And Jesus did that for us. And God looks at that and takes his death in our place. So what do we do? Well, this criminal, this man being crucified at the time next to Jesus, shows us. And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what is the answer? "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The man believed. And that's what we must do. We must believe with our hearts that Jesus is the sacrifice of God in our place. And we must trust him to do what we cannot do. We cannot do enough good things to earn our way into heaven. Many people try. But even one bad thing, one sin, one time breaking God's law, means that we deserve death, and no amount of good things can ever take place of that. But Jesus' perfect death can. It pays the price for our sins. And so, in our reading, Jesus died. And when he did, there's a little phrase that talks about the curtain of the temple being torn in two. Now, before Jesus, in the temple, there was a curtain, and it separated the place where God was from the people. It separated the place where God was from even all but the high priest. And the high priest only went into that holy of holiest place once a year. And he went in to offer sacrifices for the people's sins. That curtain separated the people from the place where God was. But Jesus, his death, tears that curtain open. Because through Jesus, when we come through Jesus, we can come before God. Because Jesus' death saves us. His blood covers our sins and allows us to come before God. Have you accepted that gift? Have you believed? If you haven't, pray today that God would forgive you. First of all, when you pray, acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you have broken God's commandments, and that you deserve to be punished. That's where it all begins. Second, thank God for sending Jesus. Thank God that when there was nothing that you could do, when you could not save yourself, He sent Jesus to die for you. Third, confess your sins and repent. Say, Lord, that I'm sorry for the bad things that I have done. I'm sorry for the sins and breaking your commandments. Forgive me. Help me change and obey you. And then accept his gift of forgiveness. Lord, thank you that you have forgiven me. Through Jesus, you have made me right with you. Help me to follow always. That's what it is. It's acknowledging that Jesus has taken your place, paid the punishment for your sins. If you have never done that, I pray that you would do that today. Talk to God, and then follow Him. Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving yourself for us. You didn't have to, but you chose to because you saw that we could not do it on our own. Thank you. I pray that you would just help us to always live out of gratitude for what you've done for us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.